Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ dhammaṃ sanghaṃ namassāmi. This evening's Dhamma talk is going to be on a subject which is great for helping one's meditation to get deeper and deeper, but it's also great as an object of insight, creating wisdom to liberate the mind, and it's a perception of emptiness. Sometimes that I should have mentioned this maybe earlier on in the meditation retreat, coming close to the end of, because the perception of emptiness is something which, when developed, can be a very powerful assistance to liberating the mind. That should show what's really there in existence, to get this beautiful sense of peace, emptiness, where things start to disappear. Because when things disappear, that's what emptiness is, all that remains. So not only is it a powerful teaching of Buddhism, it's not just an end result, it's also part of the path as well. And I was very impressed when I first came across the Buddha's teaching on emptiness, where he focused on the fact that to meditate on emptiness, you're changing your perception from its normal ways of looking at things. Our perception is mostly dealing with events, things which are there, where in the meditation on emptiness we instead focus on what's missing. It's the meditation on emptiness which the Buddha described in the Majjhima. He, I think, was talking to Ananda, if I'm not mistaken, but I could be mistaken there, but it's irrelevant who he's talking to. But he was saying that just like in a forest, you have to develop the perception this forest is empty of all those people and all that running around, all the shops, all the cars, all the radios and music and coming and going. For him, the forest was empty of the elephants and all the people and the noise. And what you were doing there, by remembering or focusing on what's missing, we're developing stage by stage this different type of perception. Not the perception of what's there, but the perception of what's absent. An understanding when you see that all these things are no longer there, that is happiness. Not only is it a way of developing contentment and happiness, it's also a way of developing wisdom, to understand the contentment of happiness is a direct result of all these things going to cessation for these moments of time. Their disappearance is a cause of happiness. Their emptiness, their absence, not being there, is bliss. Sometimes in the West we call this gratitude, where we focus just on what we have, or rather, sorry, that's not what I meant, on what is missing, what we've let go of, what we've abandoned. So often it's the obstacles in front of us now which take our attention, and all the obstacles which have been overcome, we sort of don't even think about them anymore. It's like when you are sick, and when you suddenly get, or not suddenly, when you recover from your illness, you feel healthier than you've ever felt before. You feel that health simply because in the normal days of your life you take that health for granted, but it's very prominent and very easy to see just after a sickness has finished. But why can't we value and enjoy that health if we have it at all times? Because we have to develop the perception of voidness. Now I'm void of that sickness. If you can develop those perceptions of emptiness, of what's missing, of what's disappeared, of what's been transcended and overcome, straight away it will give you the feeling of happiness and joy and energy. So this became a powerful tool of the Buddha to assist one's meditation. It's not that the meditation on emptiness is a completely separate meditation from everything else. It's just something which we can combine with whatever meditation we're doing. It's something we can combine with whatever actions during the day we're doing. It's something we can combine on the walking path as well as in bed before we go to sleep. To see what has been let go of. To develop the emptiness perception. So that when you meditate on this path of breath meditation, so often when I teach people the basic methods of meditation, people still have a hard time of getting into present moment awareness. Emptiness perception helps enormously there, which is why I thought maybe I should have taught the emptiness teaching earlier in this retreat. Because the present moment awareness, you know that, because it's empty of all past and all future. You know the present moment mostly by what's absent, not by what's there. And if we can only start to develop this way of looking at things, not seeing what's there, but seeing what's absent, and defining this moment not by its nature or its function, but dividing this by what's missing. And then we know what the path of emptiness truly is. We know the present moment because all past and all future is missing. We're empty of all of that. And that will give you a lot of contentment, a lot of happiness, even bliss. And also it will show you, at the same time that those experiences of happiness and bliss comes up, it will show you why it's happiness and bliss. The connection will be made with the experience of the arising of happiness. That this is because all those things of time have been taken away from me. They're not no longer a part of my perceptual framework. I am free of them. I am empty of time. And that's what the present moment awareness truly is. It's an emptiness awareness. As we go through this path, one empties the mind of all this thinking. And the silence and the peace, you can appreciate that because this is empty of all thought, empty of all movement of mind which creates this verbalizing and commenting on life. And you appreciate that emptiness, and you know the experience of the silent mind because it's empty of all thought. That is peace. And if you understand that is peace because the thinking is gone, there's a sense of joy comes up and happiness as you see the connection that the thinking was suffering because when it's gone, when it's disappeared, like a disease has gone, you feel healthy, you feel joyful, you're energized. So you recognize in silence that this is void of the thinking mind. When you get into the breath, you understand that this is void of the diversity of consciousness. Everything else which you could be aware of, like the sounds, the feelings in the body, have disappeared. You're void of those things. It's when you start watching the breath, your body disappears. This is emptiness meditation. As the body disappears, the very disappearance of the body, or parts of the body, is the perception of voidness. Your hands go. They're no longer there. That's what emptiness means. They've disappeared. And soon as you meditate deeper, developing the perception of emptiness, the whole body is gone. And you know the body is gone. There's just breath left. And when you're watching that breath without a body, without being percipient of any body, you know it's an emptiness there. This emptiness has started to grow. First of all, it was just empty of time, empty of time. Now it's empty of words. Now it's empty of body. You also understand through the process of emptiness what this meditation truly is. It's allowing things to fade away. It's a letting go. When people keep asking, how do you let go? This is one other brilliant method of the Buddha. By focusing on emptiness, again and again throughout the path of meditation, knowing what's disappeared. Not only are you understanding what letting go is, but you're also developing it. As you focus on the emptiness, you're focusing not on the doing of letting go, what happens afterwards. And you're actually focusing on that, and the emptiness grows. It's one of those things I've noticed in just mental psychology. What you focus on tends to grow. If you focus on emptiness, it starts to expand. And it starts to eat away at all those other objects of consciousness. So consciousness has got less and less things to occupy it. Emptiness, as it were, squeezes out the objects of consciousness. And as emptiness penetrates deeper and deeper, even the breath disappears. And when the breath disappears, and when you get into nimitta stages, if you really want to, you can even focus on that nimitta stage as the emptiness. The breath has disappeared. This is empty of breath. Sometimes when this happens, sometimes before a nimitta comes up, sometimes people get lost. What should I watch? What should I see? Very often I tell people, just be patient, the nimitta will come up soon. But if the nimitta hasn't come up at that particular stage, emptiness becomes your object of perception. You are percipient of the emptiness, the freedom from a body, from breath, from time, from commentary. All that is gone. And that's what you focus on. For many people, they find it difficult to focus on emptiness because they haven't trained. We've always trained to focus on things, events and objects. Not what surrounds those objects, not what's there when the objects have gone. And it's because of the inability, because of our conditioning, our training, our education, to see absence rather than presence. We've been trained to watch presence. Now we're looking at absence instead. When we start to change that perception to absence, our meditation gets much easier. We know what we're looking at. We're familiar with it. We're at ease. We're seeing empty things rather than always wanting to have something there. And that also helps with our daily life, because sometimes when nothing's happening, we make something happen. We actually put things into those empty spaces. That's our habit of our culture. When we know the emptiness meditation, not only can we go into these deep stages and go to that place before the nimitta arises when the breath has disappeared and be at ease there, we know how to watch emptiness, how to be at still with nothing, and we don't put something there, we don't do something. We can leave emptiness alone without needing to fill it with something. And that's crucial, because all you need to do in that stage is to wait. And then the nimittas come up by themselves. And you look at that nimitta and experience it, and you know that that nimitta, it is emptiness itself. The brightness which comes from you being empty of the five senses. That's what makes up the nimitta. Emptiness becomes brilliant. This is what the mind knows it as, a radiant mind. Freed from all those five senses. And if you can understand that, you understand why the nimitta is brilliant, why it's bright, why it's joyful, where it comes from. It comes from emptiness. It is emptiness. It comes from a fading away of things, of letting things go, of dropping things. So it tells you that what you should do, when you're trying to watch for something coming, you're watching for the same thing, watching for the wrong thing. You should be looking at absence, looking for things disappearing. Not looking for things arising in your mind. Look for things ceasing and disappearing, the absence, not the presence of things. If you look for the presence of the nimitta, you may not find it. So look for the absence of everything else, and then the nimitta will appear. This is what we mean by the void meditation, the emptiness meditation, sunyata, the emptiness. And because you're focusing on the emptiness grows more and more and eats away more the objects of the mind. You are literally emptying your mind out of all its conceptual frameworks, just like you empty a pot of water until there's nothing left there. You empty the major water out, and then it's still wet, and you've got to keep it upside down until it drips, until there's no more drips fall out of it. That's like the jhanas. The drips are like the nimittas, and when there's no more drips left, the major part of the water, the objects of mind, have come out. Now you've got to leave it alone, and the water evaporates, it dries. When you leave the mind alone in jhana, it just dries out. The last objects of mind tend to evaporate. The vitaka vichara of first jhana, the pity of second, the sukha of third, the equanimity, all those other perceptions of the immaterial attainments, they just evaporate away by nature. And the mind becomes more empty, more void. There's less things happening there. The less you have in these jhanas, just the more bliss you feel. And the idea, the understanding of what happiness, what bliss truly is, becomes fulfilled. Your search for understanding what happiness and what dukkha is, its opposite, becomes known at last. To understand that the equanimity of fourth jhana is so much bliss when there's nothing being felt, or no happiness being felt, but that is bliss. Understanding that is a powerful teaching, that the emptiness, the letting go of all sukha and dukkha, is high happiness. And the letting go, the emptying of the mind, the emptying of the jitta, everything disappearing, that is bliss. And then you understand this emptiness business, why nibbana is cessation. Because everything is emptied out, with nothing remaining. That's why the emptiness perception, when developed, is a powerful help at the beginning of the meditation, at the middle of the meditation, in the jhanas, in the immaterial attainments. You're taking everything away. As Ajahn Chah always used to say, you meditate not to get things. That's not going to emptiness, that's putting more things in the mind. All these attainments in the meditation, whether it's the attainment of the full awareness of the breath, that is not putting something in the mind. It's when other things disappear and fade away. The jhanas aren't attainments. They're uncoverings of something, as it were, already there. You're just throwing a lot away, and this is what's left. So they're, in a sense, those jhanas are right there in every moment of consciousness, right now. They're covered up. You just need to throw the coverings away. And once those coverings are let go of, when you empty your mind of all these obstacles, all these coverings, all this wrapping of the jitta of the mind, then you reveal the jhanas. You don't attain them, you reveal them. And they're just stages of letting go. They are actually stages of emptiness. The deeper the jhana, the more emptiness, the lesser is there. And the lesser is there, not only the more stable, but the more blissful they are. And I don't mean blissful like powerful energetic joys, but still peaceful joy. The subtle joys, the amazing joys of cessation. And just to experience one or two of those will mean you understand what emptiness is and why we go for emptiness, why we are renunciants, renounce for the sake of emptiness, and why the whole path is to seeing how much you can get rid of, how much you can throw away, not how much you can attain. So those of you who have just come here just for a rain retreat, when you go back, when people ask, what did you get from the retreat? You say, nothing. I just lost a lot. Then you're a wise person. You've got something, rather, or what I mean is that you've done something, you've let it go, you've abandoned things. You go back lighter, freer, more empty. The empty beings are the ones who are most peaceful. The more you carry around, the more pain you experience. So the emptiness perception is a beautiful way of dealing with your meditation path, but also dealing with this terrible thing about attainments and getting things. One understands why that when one tries to get something aware of meditation, one is going in the opposite direction to nibbana. One is trying to get something or go somewhere. Instead, just see what you can get rid of, what you can abandon, what you can let go of, what you can throw away, how close you can get to emptiness. That's why in some people's huts, there's hardly anything there. In their huts, just you look around where they sleep, it's like emptiness. It's a strange thing that I've noticed in people's houses. I remember seeing some photographs of people's houses, say 30, 40, 50 years ago. There's hardly any furniture there, nothing on the walls, because they were poor. And these days you go in people's houses, it's hard to move around. Not only is there lots of furniture, there's tables, there's pictures on the walls, there's knick-knacks, so much stuff. And you can see that when people have an empty wall, they want to stick something on it. When somebody climbs on top of a mountain, they put a flag there. This is the human condition of delusion. Just abhors, gets frightened by emptiness. So they always want to put something there. We can't leave wilderness alone. We don't put a flag on top of a mountain, we put a restaurant there. Can't we leave things alone? Or if we can't, why can't we? Or can't you leave your mind alone? Why do you keep putting things on there? Like the restaurants and the flags. When we understand about emptiness, we understand how we can leave things alone. We have an empty wall on our hut, and we delight how wonderful that is to have nothing there. We don't think what can go there. We think what we can take away. Emptiness becomes our perception. Emptiness becomes our joy. Emptiness becomes, if you like, our wealth. We measure how rich we are as meditators by how empty we are, how little we have, how little we own, how little we have in our mind. So the great monks are not the ones who think a lot. The great monks are the ones who have got nothing going on between their ears. Fully empty, peaceful, the silent sages. When we understand that this is our goal, this is what we're trying to aim for, we understand the path of meditation, the path of nirvana, why nirvana is cessation, why it's all about letting go, the fading away of things, the emptiness. We understand why that we have these teachings, like you come into a room, you see what surrounds the people, what's between the walls, not the walls themselves, but the space, the emptiness. When you're sort of in the eating your food, you don't just see the rice and the curry and the sweets and the bananas, you see the emptiness in your bowl rather than what fills it. See if you can expand that emptiness. When you're actually in the kitchen, you don't look for things to say and to fill up the silent moments, but you can see how much more silence we can build in that kitchen, how much more emptiness we can have. Because the emptiness is freedom. The more empty you are, the less letters you have, the less you need to do, the more emptiness you have in your life, the more peaceful and happiness you will experience. So when we understand what emptiness is, and we cultivate that perception, and we start to appreciate and even worship emptiness, we know the path of the Buddha. If we are empty during our day, few possessions, few letters, few telephone calls, there's so many hours of our day are empty, there's nothing to do. You sit or you walk, not trying to fill your mind with thoughts or fantasies or plans. See how much you can empty out. And as you empty things out more and more and more, the closer you get to the path of meditation. And because you do that in your daily activities, when you sit down or you walk, emptiness has been your perception all day. So the mind will incline towards that emptiness. It will delight in emptiness. It will worship emptiness. And emptiness grows. You're just walking. You're not trying to do something or get anywhere. Seeing how much you can let go of. Present moment awareness and silence comes very easily. Soon you're empty of all the perceptions of everything other than this foot moving right now. Soon the body disappears, all you've got is a foot left. Just one foot. Sometimes just the sole of your feet is all that's left. You've emptied the mind of everything else. You've emptied your life of everything else. You're free with hardly any burden. The only thing you carry around is the feeling in the sole of the feet in this moment. And you understand that this is emptiness. You've let go of so much. When you sit, it's the same. When you go to bed at night, you start to sleep. You empty your mind out of all of the perceptions of the day. You don't carry those perceptions around with you as you go to sleep. You don't worry about the future. You empty your mind of the future. You empty your mind of all doing, all worries, all thinking, all fantasies, perceptions, whatever. You just lay down there and develop emptiness. And soon you go into a deep sleep. You wake up in the morning, emptiness is there for you. And that emptiness is not just a path and a joy for you, it's a truth. Once you develop that perception, you understand how accurate that is to the nature of things as they truly are. Once you develop that perception throughout your day and your meditation, not only does it lead to jhana, it leads to great wisdom. Because you look at this body, what's in this body? There's nothing there. There's emptiness, just bones and skin. And if you look at if you're a man, you look at a beautiful woman, what's there? It's just empty. It's just like what the Buddha said, like a doll, like a puppet painted on the outside, made to look nice. Just like this, years ago I was told that some smart talking artist had an exhibition in Paris. And it was cool because it was a statement about the vacuity of art, the emptiness of art. You just had the frames on the wall with no paintings inside. And under the frames, $5,000, $10,000. And people actually bought, it was a sellout, and people bought this emptiness exhibition, frame after frame, picture of picture. He made a fortune for doing no paintings at all. It's actually a con. But he was making a statement about emptiness. Nothing there. When you see what emptiness is, you find actually that it is very valuable. The more one can empty out, the more silent one is, the more peaceful, the more bliss, the more joy. And so you look at this body, whether it's a girl or a boy, old or young, there's nothing there. What is actually attractive about these things? It's just these perceptions which we overlay on that body, on that being. When you actually see the person for what they are, there's nothing there at all. There's nothing to love, nothing to be attracted towards. It's just what we add to it. And emptiness means that all of those additions, all of those concoctions just disappear. We find that boys, girls, what people call attractive or not attractive, that's they're just beings, that's all. They're just people. And you have no distinction between the ugly ones and the beautiful ones. No distinction between the old ones and the young ones. They're just beings, exactly the same. You empty the mind of those differences and those distinctions which create lust or aversion. When you can empty your mind of the body and the bodies which you see, it's an amazing sense of freedom. All this lust and aversion, there's a chain which imprison us, which stop us being free. For any of those monks who still bother with lust, you notice how much pain that causes you when you sort of just can't free your mind of that. It's an obsession. And when we are obsessed by something, we have no freedom, there's no peace. It's like putting ourselves in a jail. So when we're free of those things, when we're empty of the perception of beauty and ugliness, we're free of the perception of beauty and ugliness and the lust and the ill will which comes from it, we're empty. And remember what emptiness means. Focus on the fact that these things are gone now and how beautiful and wonderful that is. Sometimes in my meditation I used to have to remind myself, see mind, how wonderful it is when these things, when you're free of these things, when there's no lust or ill will, when there's no thinking, when there's no time, see mind. And when I reminded myself of what was absent and how beautiful that was, it actually encouraged my mind to actually to recognize the benefits of emptiness, to know it, to recognize the benefits, so it would become more and more empty. It would incline to emptiness more and more. Sometimes you need to do this. This is part of the insight practice or part of the samatha practice. They all go together. How we combine those things? By reminding ourselves of the beauty of emptiness in every stage of the path. The more we let go, the more things disappear, the more peaceful, the more beautiful, the more spiritual, the more holy it feels as we empty out more and more. And as we empty out more and more, just the deep meditations come, the wisdom comes. And what we're emptying out most of all is emptying out the doer and the knower. Emptying out the ego, the sense of self, the me, and the mind. We all know that that's the part of the self which the Buddha said, not me, not mine, not a self. This is actually what we're really emptying out. We're emptying out our sense of self. And until there's nothing left in there, there's no identity left, no sense of me, and no sense of possession anymore. So you become someone who doesn't own anything. You've emptied out your whole store of possessions, both material possessions, the possession of your body, and the possession of your mental faculties as well. You don't own these, so you empty out the whole lot. It's like emptying out your bank balance before you become a monk. Now you give it all away, so you've got nothing left. And most of you people here, you know, the monks, you're someone with no money. You are empty of that money, and how free that feels. See if you can go further and empty your heart of even more possessions. The less you have, the more free you feel. You know how hard it is to clean your heart when you've got so much stuff in there? See how empty you can be. And then empty yourself of this body. Sure, the body is around sometimes, but not all the time. So you throw that body away. You empty the body from the mind, like you're pouring out water from a glass, until there's no body left. It's just the mind. You keep on emptying things out, and you incline towards that emptiness until there's nothing left. You empty the mind of this doer and this will. You empty the mind of its mental objects. You empty it of even knowing. You empty it of even the perception of emptiness. Until there's nothing, not even nothing, the full emptiness of cessation. That's why that Nibbana is emptiness, nothing left, all gone. Sometimes emptiness is so scary for people. It's not that they can't stand an empty wall, or they can't stand silence when they're with their friends and they want to sort of say something just to make conversation. It's that afraid of everything disappearing, of real emptiness. Ajahn Chah, the great teacher, that was one of his favorite words, emptiness, wang in Thai, in his last years of life. And I think this was actually on one of the TV documentaries, when the BBC were interviewing him outside of Chitthas. And they're asking him about some of the deeper teachings. He said, just like biting into an apple. If you can bite into an apple, only then do you know what the taste of an apple is. Only when you meditate and develop the truth of Dharma, only then do you know what the taste of the Dharma is. And what's that taste? One, emptiness. Nothing there. This is what we mean by emptiness. And that's that great teaching which he gave to me once, when he asked me, Ajahn Brahm, why? And the answer he told me was, there's nothing there. One, emptiness. That's a great question to the answer why, and a brilliant answer. The answer to the question why is, there's nothing. Emptiness. So profound, but not just profound in the sense of intellectually satisfying. So profound because it leads to the emptying of the mind and the emptying of the body. It leads to cessation, the fading away of things, peace, cessation, nibbana. That's why emptiness is the Dhamma. And the more we focus on that, the more we recognize that. Look at this monastery here. Don't look at all the stuff we've got here. Sometimes people ask that when they sort of ring up and say, oh, we want to bring some dana today, what do you need? Sometimes even as a joke, as I said today, I need nothing. So please bring nothing today. We need more emptiness in this monastery. So please, those of you in the kitchen, put it on the dana roster. And allow 3 things on a dana roster, made of cat food or bread, 3, nothing. And ask the people who come here, can you please bring nothing today? I want to bring nothing. Put it in a box. And put nothing in there. And then you can actually teach them, understand what this monastery is about. It's not getting things, it's emptying things. See how much you can let go of and get rid of. That way, you can actually understand how to meditate. We're not trying to get the richest monastery in this world, the most things. That's why, that for those of you who have come here recently, our monastery storeroom, I built that. When people said, that's never going to be big enough, I said, yes, great, you got the message. Because now, no matter how big you build a monastery storeroom, it'll always be full up. So you build it small, means you can't get much in there, so you have to throw things away. And now, we've got a secondary storeroom under the stairs, and one outside the dining room. Wouldn't it be wonderful to empty everything so there's nothing left? This is what monastery should be doing. Till there's nothing left, emptiness. And that becomes almost like the theme of this monastery. Remember the first years when visitors would come and I'd take them around. All we had, the first building, was the ablution block, toilets and showers. That was the first major building we built here. And they'd come and say, where's the monastery? So here it is. Where is it? Here. Can't you see it? I can only see trees. What's between the trees? Nothing. Yeah, that's a monastery. Emptiness. That's what's most important in a forest monastery. Not the sala, not the main hall, not the kutis. What's between the walls of the kutis? What's between the kutis themselves? What's between the trees? What's between the past and the future, this beautiful present moment? What's the space between the thoughts? What happens when the body disappears and there's space there rather than an arm or a leg? What happens when just the mind doesn't move anymore? All movement disappears. What happens when the mind disappears? Complete emptiness. Everything which is felt and known, perceived, touched, is all gone. It's beautiful emptiness. That's the monastery. That's the Dhamma. That's the Buddha. So we try and touch that emptiness as much as we can. We incline towards that emptiness. We remind ourselves of that emptiness. We perceive that emptiness until our mind looks in that direction so many times. It never looks too long that doing things, accumulating things, getting things. It inclines towards absence rather than presence, seeing what's disappeared, and going eventually to the great disappearance, where not just you disappears, but the whole of samsara vanishes. So it's the end of birth. You're empty of birth. You're empty of old age, and empty of sickness, and empty of death. Empty of thinking and proliferating. Empty of even knowing. The great emptiness. It's obviously only when there's emptiness can there be an end of things. Whenever there's something to be done. Whenever there's an object, there's impermanence, rise and fall, suffering, fuel for more things to come and go. When everything disappears, only then is there freedom. Only then is there rest. When there's nothing more to do, because there's nothing there, everything has gone. So the perception of emptiness is also an understanding of what nibbana is, what this goal is, why we're meditating. Emptiness is a path. Emptiness is a helpful tool, a skillful means. And emptiness is the goal itself. That's why sunyata has been recognized by so many meditation teachers, so many wise masters and mistresses for generations, for centuries. It's a beautiful expression of the incomparable teachings of a Buddha. So put it into practice in your daily life. Put it into practice in your meditation. Put it into practice as you're in your insight. And if you always develop perceptions of emptiness, very rarely will you get lost on the path to nibbana. Emptiness is the path. You see, Visuddhimagga says, the path is, but no traveller on it is seen. Nibbana is, but not the one who enters. Empty through and through. So that's the talk this evening on nothing, emptiness.
Sufatipano Bhagavato Sāra.